Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Well, it makes me sad to think that there's going to be consequences for breaking the law. Just because it's illegal immigration, it seems really...
This is what happens when you give everybody a participation trophy, okay?
That was a very easy answer for you.
That's what happened.
These are
the consequences that we're dealing with. Okay.
I think that our country is right now in the most dangerous position it's ever in.
Confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025.
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident.
Take a look at what happened.
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that.
Campaign rally is not a press conference. Why isn't she at a press conference? She's the vice president. She can handle the questions. Why not do it?
Dana, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed.
4 months from now, we will have an incredible victory, and we will begin the four greatest years in the history of our country.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Campaign Games, the game of survival for both the candidates and the voters. I feel like that still applies. I'm Sadie. I'm here with my friend Rachel.
Hello.
Hey, we're talking about how the ladies are not okay. And we're not talking about us because we're freaking awesome. We are glowing.
We're doing fine. We're tired, but we're fine.
We're talking about the torrent flood, I don't know how you want to describe it, of left-leaning women in panic and hysteria on our social media feeds. So we're going to discuss, because they don't all seem to be stressing out. I don't know. I'm trying to be kind, like, because initially I was a little entertained by it. I'm not going
to
lie.
No, they all seem to be stressing out to me.
Yeah.
All of them.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, initially my flesh, I kind of was entertained by it, right? I found it amusing.
For maybe a minute, but then it just...
And then it just got,
it descended into pity, sadness.
Yeah,
that,
I feel bad. Like, I have, like, empathy, I guess, for them. So anyways, we're going to talk about that because they're falling into different compartments of, like, how they're resisting. We're going to, of course, talk about the ultimate draft pick of the season, Trump's cabinet. I swear, that's what it feels like. It feels like the best draft pick ever. Anyways, before we get into it, go ahead and give us a follow, a 5-star rating once you finish, because you're absolutely going to love us. Leave a nice comment and share it with a friend, because that really helps us grow. Sharing is caring. And that's it. Let's get into this. So the ladies are not okay, Rachel.
No, they are not. They are far from stable.
Okay. And also, just full disclosure, I use humor and laughter to, that's how I cope. Okay.
So are you one of those people that, like, giggles and laughs at funerals?
Yes.
Have you laughed and giggled? Oh, okay.
I don't know what it is. It's just, I'm a person that is very uncomfortable with complicated feelings.
Yeah, why don't you tell them what, as a side note, so they can get to know us a little bit better, so it's not all business, why don't you tell them about your, like, emotional reservations and trust issues, like when I just text you.
Oh my gosh,
want to be friendly.
Well, it's just funny because we were talking, you know, as Rachel and I have gotten to know each other, you know, we've been chatting, And apparently she was a cheerleader in high school. I was the complete literal opposite.
Have we told them this before? If we have, no, just it's
I don't
because
think
we're
so.
Old, we repeat ourselves.
So I don't think we would have been friends in high school, which is actually really kind of funny. So anyway, she's peppy. She's sweet. Love her for it. But she'll send me text messages randomly that just go, hi. And finally, one day I replied, I'm like, I don't know
what.
What
do you or just like a question mark? Like, what can I do for you?
Like, what like, do you want?
Can't I just be your friend? I think one time I sent the meme of Andy from The Office, like, sorry to have bothered you with my friendship. And she's like, well, I have trust issues. Like, I don't. She doesn't just send the peppy like, hey, how are you? What are you doing?
Texting is for purposes. There is a mission. Send a text message.
I am what I am. It won't stop.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. That's actually
anyways,
funny.
back to being ladies.
Yes. Back to what is happening. So post-election, post-Trump.
It's only been a week now. Winning. I mean, it literally hasn't even been a week.
I was, you know, of course.
It's been a week. It's been a week. It's
it has
Wednesday.
Been a week. It was okay. A week yesterday.
All right.
So after 2016 and Trump won the election, we all saw the memes of like women screaming in the streets. You know, there's that classic one with the neon vest and the little beanie, you know, the protests, the pea hat protests and everything like that. And you know, it was something new. It was kind of
amusing.
It was
somewhat comical because it didn't feel like it was the entire ethos of the left. It felt like an aberration. Not so much the Women's March, because that was highly attended. And so, you know, the size was just overwhelming. It was a lot. But the unhinged, like losing their minds, like you said, crying in the streets, that felt more like just fringe, a little random, you know?
It was just kind of like, you know, a few people were just kind of being
a few crazies
out there.
Yeah.
And so I fully expected a similar reaction with a second term.
Especially coming off of Dobbs, where like the very false narratives being peddled that women are losing all of their rights.
Well, that's the issue. So we have
they no longer have autonomy.
We have the lies of 2025. And then on top of that, we had at the very end of the election, the revving up of Trump being a fascist baby Hitler.
Right.
So would it be weird to do merch that said baby Hitler on it? I guess that
probably
would not be.
That would be problematic. Definitely. Yeah. Because, for a lot of reasons, just we're not even going to entertain that.
So I was expecting meltdowns. So, of course, as I'm scrolling my feed and I'm seeing some, you know, I'm like, oh, these women, they're, you know. And then also the realization of how the vote went, like how the shift went to the right or to Republican, went red. And how much the Democrats were really depending on females or women to come out and vote for Harris. And he actually made gains across all female demographics. I don't know if he made gains with Black women specifically, but pretty much everyone
he definitely
else.
Did with white suburban women, which Democrats always count on for their vote, especially since 2016. And they didn't deliver. And so that's why you're hearing all of these, you know, liberal pundits talking about how it's racism. White women didn't rescue Black women who have been saving America since
its
founding.
Racism.
It's all racism, which like Black women need saving. Stop it. It's such a like reverse racist narrative they're peddling. But here we are.
And it's also internalized misogyny. Let's not forget that.
Right, right. That's why Latinos voted for Trump, because they're all misogynists. It couldn't have anything to do with the border. But anyways, I digress.
Yes. So expected it. So then I started to, I remember maybe it was like the second, third day or something like that.
I think
started,
it was right after. It was on the heels of it.
Because I DM'd
you. You started messaging me like, hey, what's up, 4B? I'm like, what are you talking about? You're like, well, there's a movement. You're going to want to know about it. And we're going to podcast about it next week.
She goes to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And
listen,
typically
I'm an old lady. I have a multitude of children. I go to bed early. I am what I am.
So while she's sleeping, I'm scrolling and I start to see this thing bubbling up on my feeds, and it fell into the 4B movement, which we'll get into that. And then also blue bracelets. So I literally.
Yeah, and once we say this, though, this is what happened. Once Mercedes was telling me, she's like, hey, you need to look into 4B and the crazy ladies. And I was like, it's probably fringe, whatever. But then once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then it's everywhere. And you really do realize this is a growing movement of just, I mean, lost their minds gals who, I swear, I was at first thinking it was kind of funny, like they need a hobby. But then you realize, no, they really do. There's a vacuum that is needing to be filled by something. And their politics has become their religion. Otherwise, I don't think you could view it as this literal and serious what they're proposing here. So let's get into it because it is something else.
Yeah. So first, the 4B movement. Now, if you guys have been in a bubble or if you decided to check out post-election, I don't blame you. But if
congratulations.
Yes, you are a better person than I. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't, I'm sure that you've seen some women who are left or who voted for Harris shaving their heads, mm-hmm. or screaming or saying that they're going to swear off a bunch of things. So they're going to swear off sleeping or swear off men in general. So no
dating.
Sex,
no. Well, what does the 4B stand for? So the 4B stands for four no's.
Yes. So it originated in South Korea. And the B, where it comes from, is that every phrase or every category starts with a B in Korean, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not going to repeat them because I can't speak it. Right. Yeah. Now, it means no dating, no sex, no marriage, no childbirth. That's supposed to be the idea. Now, this whole thing was, and I think I remember seeing this maybe a year or two ago, where this conversation in South Korea was bubbling up. And it's a feminist movement about women wanting to break free from the traditional expectations of social pressures, mm-hmm. and the burdens that I guess is forced upon them in relationships, family, and childbearing. And so women who have joined this movement are swearing off men in general. Obviously, we're talking about heterosexual relationships because you can't make a baby otherwise.
Yeah,
for sure.
And so no marriage, no childbirth, no sex, no dating. So here in the States, it seems to, I don't know how the movement is going down in South Korea, but here in the States, post-Trump, it has almost kind of been magnified or amplified because it's not mm-hmm. just, it's all of those, but it's also, you see these women on social media, like, making themselves unattractive. I think this is what they're thinking in their head by shaving their heads. And one of them is, you know, I've seen a few of them ranting about, I'm not going to shave my legs. I'm not going to shave my armpits. I'm going to shave my head. I'm not going to wear makeup. I'm not going to do any of this. I'm not going to try and make myself look nice because I'm not going to submit to the male gaze or the patriarchy or whatever. And I'm like,
okay. Like, I don't shave my legs and my armpits and put on makeup just for my husband. I do it for me because otherwise I kind of look like a troll. Like, I don't. But can I roll back real quick and ask, do we know, and we probably should have looked this up ahead of time, but I did not. Do we know why it started in South Korea? What was the origin story?
Yeah,
did people just wake up one morning and they're like, let's do this, ladies.
I mean, I can do a quick search while we continue to discuss, like, what was the trigger?
Yeah, I'm curious because it almost makes me think about, this feels like a more escalated version of what kind of started happening in the 70s with, like, Betty Friedan's book, basically telling women that staying at home and raising children was kind of like a prison that they locked themselves in, and they needed to have the freedom and the permission to unchain themselves from the drudgery of having babies and being subject to the demands of, you know, family. It echoes that. Just doesn't seem as kind of like unorganized, because I'm seeing all kinds of reactions. I'm seeing some women scream, you know, and then just losing their minds. Some women very, very, very sad and kind of talking about abortion. And then other women and news commentators talking about, panelists on news stations talking about how this election made them realize how much men hate women because they elected Trump and how much women hate women because they elected Trump. So it feels like there's lots of little tentacles in this movement. You know what I mean?
And it's kind of funny that you put it that way, because one of the, honestly, this is my personal opinion, but one of the issues of the feminist movement, and honestly, almost any of these progressive activist movements, is that they keep finding something to be upset about.
Yeah.
Because it's this consistent, you know, resistance, or this consistent,
well, consistent victim kind of class that they have to remain in. They
and it's
have
not to,
to
say
something.
That they're all like ridiculous. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are, you know, we have the civil rights movement, you know, the fun, like the core civil rights movement when we were talking about, you know, slavery, Jim Crow, you know, all, obviously there are things that need and should have happened. And I'm grateful that they did.
Some reforms are good reforms.
Yeah. Even the early suffragist movement and everything like that. Like, I'm not, I don't have an issue with that or anything like that. But the problem is that when you, I'm wondering if this is like a side note, but it almost becomes like a business. And so they have to keep it going, and they have to keep finding things.
Otherwise, if they solve the issues that they're talking about, or they wake up and realize that they're not as oppressed as they think they are, they put themselves out of a job. I mean, you think about all the race baiters that are just continually creating this faux racist narrative about our country, and they act like they want this problem solved, that one day we're going to come to this conclusion where we're not this horrible racist country that is, that narrative's continually perpetuated. Well, if we arrive there, then all of them are unemployed.
And I think specifically on this, you know, this narrative of like women, you know, voting against their own interests, or women hating themselves, or men hating, you know, a lot of it is like men hate women.
Yeah.
And that's why they were able to do this. I think a lot of that stems from the lies that we have been consistently fed, especially over the last 10 years, that really ramped up. And it has created what we see right now is this type of, I mean, it's kind of like this type of neuroses. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The lies specifically about Project 2025, the lies about, what was the other one that we mentioned? I'm blanking out, Roe versus Wade, and how those laws work and everything like that. And the idea, you see that these women are reacting in a way, and specifically they tie it to Trump too. You know, Trump is a misogynist, Trump is a racist. And because of that, they're willing to overlook that, which means in turn they hate women, which is not the case.
But when you are, especially for a lot of the young women, I mean, I know that now the videos I'm watching are not all young women, but I mean, I'm getting older and some of them are my age, which is even more sad to me. But if you think about when this all started, you know, 10 years ago, if you've been told consistently over and over again, it's like what we always talk about. When you're told lies over and over and over again, eventually it becomes your truth, for a lot of people, at least. And these women for the last 10 years have been told Trump is literally going to take away your rights. He and his administration want to roll you back to a what they think of as an extremely like patriarchal society, where you're going to have no rights, where you're going to be this whole forced birth idea. And so if they've been told that and they have no alternative source of information or anybody speaking to them truthfully, I get it why they're afraid. I don't understand how you can get so hoodwinked, but here we are. You know, they're really believing that this administration, Trump in particular, and then their fellow man, all hate them and want to put them back in this subservient position that they believe that all of a sudden, when he was elected last week, they are now, all their rights have been taken away,
which is crazy to me, because just think about like all the women. There's so many women in the world who are legitimately like, have
you and I
no
think
rights.
Both shared that meme the other night where it's like Middle Eastern women like watching American women lose their minds and they're just rolling their eyes like, are you kidding?
I mean, the amount of privilege for you to get onto social media and have a meltdown,
tape your meltdown, and then share it, and then make money off of it, monetize it,
is
for your
wild
business,
to me
because you're an influencer. Come on,
So to answer your question about, I did a quick search on the thing in South Korea. So apparently there was a spy cam scandal at some point where people were using hidden men, obviously, were using hidden cameras and recording women in public restrooms, workplaces, and changing rooms. And it became like a big scandal. And then that snowballed into a whole discussion about how women are, you know, second
not
class
respected.
Or, yeah. And everything like that. So that was, it seems like that was the catalyst of it. It's kind of like here in the States, the Me Too movement was what happened with Weinstein and everything like that. But then in classic form, America, you know, go big or go home.
Yeah.
We have these women now on social media. So they're not just like, it's not just no dating, no sex, no marriage, no childbirth. But then it's also like, I'm going to make myself as anti-feminine
as possible.
As possible, which is where the head shaving has come from.
Okay.
Among other things. And then there's also been this discussion or this movement. I don't know if you remember this, but like, I am so online. I'm almost ashamed. Okay. So ages ago, I want to say maybe during Trump's first administration, early on, there was this movement of people wearing safety pins.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Okay. And that wasn't just online. That like infiltrated college campuses. I saw that.
I would see it at my Starbucks all the time.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a safe person. You can talk to me.
Exactly. So that's what the whole, if you would wear a safety pin to signify that you were a safe person.
Well, now it's blue bracelets, like the coil bracelets, right?
So it is like blue friendship bracelets. And it all comes from.
Oh, like the Swifties.
Yes. Because
it's full circle right now. So many things I hate.
The worst.
So many things I cannot stand right now.
So if you're not familiar, which I can't even believe I know this,
which apparently that's wonderful. Stay uninformed when it comes to this.
No, I'm going to force you to know. Anyway, at Taylor Swift concerts, there's, I guess, a thing there is to swap friendship bracelets. Like you swap beads at Mardi Gras, except I guess at Taylor Swift, you don't show your tatas for them or whatever. So,
well, I mean, she is half naked all the time. So, I don't know.
So, the idea here is that you are going to wear a blue friendship bracelet. And it's blue because Democrats are blue. Harris is a Democrat. And it's supposed to show a signal that you are not one of those horrible women, especially
that
the
voted
white women.
For Trump. Oh, yeah. So, I saw a video last night. She's like, Do I need to make my own? Is there somewhere where I can source the materials? Can I buy it online? Because I need a blue bracelet.
I need people to know
I did not vote for Trump. I'm not one of them. And I'm like, lady, you need to go outside and, as the kids say, touch grass. This is, and you're videotaping yourself.
It's wild. Well, and it's funny to me because I don't know. It's like the lack of forethought in this whole thing.
Like just reflection, self-reflection.
Not just but like looking into the future. So if you,
especially for these young people who might be, I don't know, wanting to go to college or become employed one day, just think it through. Think it through before you post these things.
Well,
please don't.
Yes, absolutely. But not even that. It's this movement of like basically not procreating. Right. The whole thing here is like not to be with man, not to have sex, not to have children.
You're going to phase yourself out then, I guess.
Exactly. I'm like,
get competitive, make some babies.
As opposed to Republicans or quote MAGA people who want to optimistic about the world now and are like, let's have a kid. We're going to like procreate the planet again and we're going to rule another 250 years.
It's
ridiculous to not like, it's funny to me because it's very on brand, like dismissing the realities of biology.
Well, so that's what they're in the business of doing now. They truly, like, they will argue. I think, did I post? Yeah, I posted in a post a couple days ago. The guy who was on the panel of CNN yelling at another panelist for saying boys are not girls.
Oh, I saw that. That was Michael on CNN.
Yeah, and I mean, we've heard this argument 1,000 times, like trans rights, you know, if you're a boy who wants to become a girl, then you can call yourself a girl. But at the base, usually when someone's arguing, they can argue with someone and be like, but you know that they're not a girl, right? You know that. And they're like, but that's not the point. We want to identify with whatever they identify. This guy was like, no, they're a girl. And he was like, no, they're not. Basic biology. He's like, nope, they're a girl.
And he was so offended.
He has internalized this lie over and over that he actually believes it. And that is what these poor women.
He has an internalized gender affirming.
Yes. And this is what these poor women think, that all of a sudden on January 20th, all the ladies are going to get rounded up and put in like baby making cabins. And they're going to be subjected to a life of whatever they've cooked up in their mind, this Margaret Atwood dystopia that's going to happen to them. And it's like, get a grip, you know?
It's been wild to me. And specifically, the other one that I found, and you shared about this on your stories.
Oh, yeah. It is weird. Sorry, weird.
Yeah. It's, again, it's like I said earlier, it's, you know, you come here, it's like go big or go home. Mm-hmm. And they just love, like, you just take it to the
next level,
extreme degree. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually, because you told me about this.
Yeah.
And I had seen a little bit about it, but I was like distracted and not paying attention. So it's Matka, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's Aqua Tofana. Great again.
Aqua Tofana. Anyways,
sounds like a delicious beverage, actually. But it's not.
No, it is not. Yeah. So it is Tofana or Giulia Tofana, I think is her name. Anyways, Giulia. So she was a 17th century Italian woman. So this is like historical way back in the day, right? When, you know, when women legitimately had no power, not mm-hmm. that I'm excusing what she did, but I'm just saying that that was the time that they were in. Mm-hmm. She sold poisons to wives who wished to off their abusive husbands, and they couldn't get out of marriages because back then, like, you couldn't just like leave your husband or divorce your husband, and resulting what they estimate is in the death of like 600 men. And she is considered to be one of the biggest serial killers from antiquity. And so she would make these poisons out of arsenic and belladonna, and it was known as Aqua Tofana. That rhymed. I didn't mean to do that. It just did. Okay. And so you have this is mostly on TikTok. Like TikTok, like I know we don't necessarily agree on the situation with TikTok, but post-election, it has been a cesspool. Okay.
Well, it always was.
Social media in general.
But also, it can't be dismissed outright because it's got the ear and the minds of so many young people. So even when I'm like, oh, TikTok, bleh, who cares? It's like, well, to a degree, we need to care because millions and millions and millions of Americans are sourcing their news, you know, information from TikTok, which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's important to know what the kids are watching.
Well, they're watching women idolize, I guess, Aqua Tofana or the,
like, are they in there? So I'm not on the TikTok, but the T squared, but are they actually these women videotaping themselves, like making this concoction?
They are cosplaying that they are making this concoction.
Wow.
And they are also like, you know, those little poison rings, those rings that have the little compartment where you can slip the poison in from back in the day.
Oh, well, I mean, from antiquity. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know if this was a new trend. People were wearing.
Well,
poison.
I don't know. I guess those rings still exist. Right. And there are videos of young women wearing a ring, or I don't know if it's an actual poison ring, and I'm doing air quotes for those who aren't watching, or if it's just them mimicking that, you know, they have a ring and symbolize what
in case
they're thinking.
They slip and actually have a relationship with someone and they need
to
kill them.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, I guess this is supposed to be for, because the other thing is that you have these women encouraging people to divorce their husbands if they have been thinking about getting divorced.
Really?
Yes, because they believe that no-fault divorce is going to be the law of the land, and that regardless
of— That's why I'm seeing all of the people talking about, is no-fault divorce coming back?
Yes, that's what it is. And so the whole idea is that—
I have thoughts about that. Let's do a whole episode on no-fault divorce. Let's talk about it.
The patriarchy is going to descend on us so hard that even if you're in, like, an abusive relationship— you're not going to be able to get out of it. Like, this is the mentality that we're dealing with right now. Okay. And so there was
these
a video.
People are walking amongst us. That's alarming, actually.
I actually just did an article that includes the video that I'm about to reference. And there was a video of this young woman. She's very young. She looks very sweet. She and beautiful skin. I don't know if it's a filter
fresh
or whatever. Very
fresh faced. Yeah.
And she's like, we've grieved. Now it's time to get ready. And she lists what is essentially what I can only describe as a feminist prep list.
Like a
right?
manifesto for how
yeah.
to
for
she's
how to
prepare.
Prepare.
She's a prepper, but for feminists who
how to prepare are... for the incoming presidency, right? And it's
this is delusional, truly. Like
it's
need
wild.
To go to a doctor.
It's yeah. wild.
Or church. They need to go to church. That's what they need to do.
And so there's a few things that I'm seeing that are lies that are creating this anxiety. You know, specifically around abortion and no-fault divorce seems to be the brunt of it. Mm-hmm. And in regards to abortion is also this idea that Trump's government in some way is going to try and track women's mm-hmm. menstrual cycle trackers, like yeah. use digital, your digital capabilities and your information, your data in order to track women's cycles to aid in figuring out whether or not they've had an abortion so they can then prosecute them or whatever.
They started doing this the second that Dobbs came down. They started perpetuating and like sending out these couriers who were carrying all these lies, who were like, we're just going to sprinkle all kinds of lies and see what people pick up on. And one of the lies was that all of these women need to now go to paper and pen to track their cycles because government officials in all the different states where there's abortion bans are going to find your digital footprint online and come arrest you because they're going to know when your period is. And I just, when you say it out loud, it does sound just
insane,
insane, but they believe it. It's been talked to that. I mean, Dobbs came down, what, 3 years ago now?
Well, and then the thing is that some of them believe that this is policy that is in Project 2025.
Right. Which, again, Trump has said, no, I do not endorse 2025. I have not even read it. Here is my plan. Project 47 or just whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. But again, you've got big names out there who know better, which I sent you last night saying, because if you guys haven't read Mercedes' latest post, you need to, because it's talking about the lie basically that's being pushed about Project 2025, which they've been doing for a year because it's yeah. all they had, you know. Mm-hmm. But you've got big names, large followings of these influencers who are reverting back to, you know, Project 2025 had kind of died down a little bit. And now they're bringing it back up since Trump was elected. This is what he's going to do, which, I mean, honestly, if you've read Project 2025 and you're an honest human, it's not this.
It's not I haven't read all 1,000 pages, but it's not the dystopian nightmare that the left is trying to create. And then the other thing is that, which I have explained this, I explained this in the article and I've explained this in my DMs when a lot of people ask me. The origins of Project 2025 is the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative mm-hmm. think tank. Mm-hmm. And this isn't something brand new specifically for Trump. This was first done. It was called the Mandate to Leadership. That was first mm-hmm. done in the 1980s around the Reagan administration and has been updated multiple times since then. It yeah. just happens to be that this latest update corresponds with this election.
Yeah, it's a bunch addition, of conservative like policy wonks sitting around and
doing the wish
out,
list.
Yes,
dream list.
Writing out during a transition, you know, of leaders, what they can do to implement the things that are important to them. Do you not think that Democrats don't have something?
They do.
Similar? Of course they do.
They do.
Of course
and
they
so,
do.
And but they don't freak out about it. You don't see the right over here freaking out about like whatever right. their mandate is, which I write about in that article. And I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But there are also left-leaning or Democrat think tanks that do the exact same thing, because mm-hmm. the idea is to be in preparation for, you know, the next, like if you get a mandate, if people vote for you, you need to be prepared to put into place what they have voted for. It is a wish list. It is not a manifesto. It is not even a plan. And Trump,
a dark plan that's like that they've been cooking up. And now all of a sudden on January 20th, the dictator in chief is coming forward to implement all of these nefarious policies over and above state leadership. Like it is delusional. It really is.
But needless to say, it is not nearly Project 2025 is not what the left is trying to make it out to be. They're literally using it as a tool to make people anxious, frankly, to misrepresent what they're saying. And then it's just kind of, we're seeing it like spill into our social media feeds. And then what's really sad to me are the women that I have seen who have children who also are spreading this neuroses onto their children. Like there was a clip of Katie Porter, who is, I believe, a representative from, oh my gosh, what state is she in? She is beloved.
It's California, isn't it? She's completely unserious and a demagogue. Like
She's gotten really famous because sometimes
she'll bring a book to sit in the assembly when like she wants to be dismissive of someone, and she'll read like a book very obviously. Like she was reading that one book.
You're correct. It is California.
Yeah, it was that one book, something about the art of not giving an F, and she'll read it like and make sure that the cover is very clear for the camera to pick up when someone's speaking.
Yeah, she does petty little things like that. She uses a whiteboard sometimes during some of the meetings.
It's so stupid. It's unserious and completely unprofessional, but people love her in California.
Well, she's a classic example of what I would say is borderline abuse or emotional abuse on your children, because kids don't need to look. I don't even have kids, but I have enough common sense to know that you don't need to project your neuroses or the instability in the world on your kids. Like, let them be kids, let them have a childhood. And so she's sharing a story about how her 12-year-old daughter gets picked up, I think, from like a swim meet or something like that. And she's crying because she thinks that with Trump being elected, that she could potentially, she said to her mom, what happens if I get raped and then I can't have an abortion?
So on election night, I went to pick up my daughter from water polo practice, and she's 12, and she got in the car and she was crying. And I said, did someone punch you? Like, water polo is a rough sport. I was like, did someone hit you? Did the coach yell at you? What happened? And she said, Mom, Trump won. Trump's going to win. And what if I get raped and I need to have an abortion? This is from a 12-year-old, my 12-year-old daughter. Mm. And so it was really a reminder of how scary this time is for people and how important it is for Democrats to have strategies, both at the state level and the federal level, to make sure that we can continue to protect people's rights.
Why is a 12-year-old even concerned about that?
They're not. They shouldn't be. It's like,
what are you telling your 12-year-old that she would be concerned about that, that she would come to you crying about something like that? And she tells this story on a panel as if it's supposed to be like, they're so delusional that this is supposed to be, my 12-year-old is stressed out about Trump. This doesn't, this isn't raining about
like
Trump.
Same parents that tell their kids that the world is going to burn up in a decade, and so they have to be afraid of climate change. And you've got children out there marching in the streets with their signs talking about how this doom that they actually legitimately feel because their parents are so irresponsible. It's like Munchausen by proxy. You know, they're kind of making their child ill in their mind and in their soul. How that's depraved to me. It feels evil because your child, I have four kids and they're aware of things that are happening in the world, but I would never, ever talk about any subject, no matter how frightened I may be of it, in a way that it would pass on terror to my children. That is something that they should be able to be free from for a short amount of time until they have to be an adult and reckon with the realities of this world. But that's if there was actually something worth being terrified of. But telling your 12-year-old the fact that a 12-year-old is even having to grapple with the idea of what rape is enough. Like that is not, that's over their ability to understand. But the fact that you're making them grapple with that because you don't like a candidate that was elected for president, that's abusive.
I don't know. And it's interesting because, like, a lot of times the argument will be like, well, I want my children to be informed. I want them to understand what's going on in the world.
That's fine. I want my children to be informed, too. But my 13-year-old doesn't need to be so terrified that they're going to be raped because of what exactly? What did Trump do that now puts your child in more danger of being raped and needing an abortion? Well, why would you even do that? Why would you talk about that with a child?
And that kind of brings, because she's in a position of influence. I mean, she's a congresswoman, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen, you know, the media and large influencers and platformers and talk about this subject, which I believe has contributed to this panic and this neuroses. Now, I'm not going to take away any personal responsibility from these individuals. They are responsible for freaking informing themselves. Uh-huh. And I do think that, I mean, this is my conclusion, but some people have a tendency, you know, it's like a character trait to be more susceptible kind of anxiety. And it's about being aware that that's the case and checking yourself. Like, if you know that you're someone who is prone to an emotional response in that way, be aware of it, check yourself, and try to find a way to react in a way that is based on information and not emotion.
Well, make sure you're finding sources that are giving you actual data that's not based completely on emotions as well. Like, make sure you're...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it's also their responsibility. Like, I do find a lot of fault in the rampant, literal misinformation that has come out from the mainstream media.
Yeah.
And what that has done to these women, but also at the same time, we have an individual responsibility to move outside of our bubble and be informed.
Well, and especially someone like Katie Porter, she has information. She knows. She lives in a state where your abortion rights were not taken away from you. So for her to be sitting there and talking about how now her daughter is at an increased rate of being susceptible to being raped and not receiving the abortion that she needs because of said rape, that's irresponsible. And she's using her child as a political prop. And that's another level of abuse. Yeah. I can't stand it. I think it's gross.
Yes. So, but yeah, I think that's about, I don't know. I think to kind of wrap up this segment, I would say that, and then it's really sad too, because a lot of them are encouraging to cut off their family members. So it's like, divorce your husbands, cut off your family members, shave your head.
And they're all talking about it now because holidays are coming up. So it's a convenient time to be like, hey, you can now put into practice all your rage and never talk to your mom again because she voted for Trump. And it's convenient timing.
And if you're a person that is dealing with that dynamic within your family, my heart does go out to you.
Yes.
I can completely sympathize and recognize how so dip
painful.
Me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I see it for myself, I see it this way. It is, if that were to happen to me, it is incumbent upon me to decide who, that my door is always going to be open and welcome to my family.
Yeah.
Even if they tell me no more. Now, if they're being abusive, you can be like, look, have a direct conversation. I need a timeout.
Yeah.
I need a timeout because you're reacting in a way that is, you know, I don't know, just not healthy for me. But at the time that you actually want to have a civilized discussion about it, or maybe your opinions change, you are always welcome to come back and we'll discuss it. Like, that's how I would personally handle it versus demonizing them and writing them off.
Yeah, I think we need to be praying for the relationships that are going to be severed because of, for whatever reason, a segment of society has decided that people who voted for Trump did
so bad people
for nefarious reasons and not because they really, you know, have issues that are impacting their families. And they think that Trump's policies will be able to solve them quicker, more efficiently than Kamala Harris's. It's as easy as that for a lot of people. And to think that this is going to break apart family units is heartbreaking. It's really, really sad.
Yeah. I'm sure that if that's the case for you guys, it is, or someone who's listening, there's somebody else out there Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's good to form your bonds with those just so they you can have a mutual understanding of what each other are going through. But I do encourage you, don't just, as much as possible, don't just write somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're being lied
to. Keep the door open.
Yeah. So moving on, let's talk about happier topics. I love when we do these like drastic flips, right?
Yep. Hey, so, that's life in America 2024. It's just swinging all over the place.
No wonder we're all losing our minds.
Yeah, seriously.
So I want to talk real quick. We got to talk about what is, I can only describe as the ultimate draft that is going on currently in the Trump administration. Okay. Because I, last night especially, I was refreshing my feed like a fiend because he was dropping bombs or the Trump, like, this transition team was dropping bombs last night that were all, for the most part, 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Well, we have to say, not all of the names that have been floated lately
have been confirmed.
And then some that were floated ended up not being the ones that he confirmed. So even still, even the ones that were floated, like some of the names that I was like, yes, I'm on board with that. So let's get into it.
Yeah. So initially, you know, at the beginning, we were hearing a lot of reports, but the reports were coming from CNN reports, New York Times reports, that sort of thing. And so, for example, one of them that has been reported and is rumored but has not been confirmed is Rachel's secret boyfriend, Marco Rubio.
For Secretary of State. I love it. I love it. Sorry for those who don't love it. I love it.
She's very excited about it.
I am.
I approve of the choice.
Oh, I'm glad for that.
I wasn't exactly like
jazz hands.
Yeah. You sent me like an all caps text
message. I am. I'm a fan of him. And also I do like, you know, there is that secret vote happening in the Senate today to pick the new Senate majority leader. And my pick for that is Rick Scott, and him and Marco Rubio are pals in Florida. So
I will say, I think Rubio is a good choice. He does have the experience. He was on the, oh my gosh, I forget the name of the Senate committee.
The Gang of Eight.
Yeah, the one that has to do with national security and everything like that. Yeah. Anyways, so he is experienced in that. It was funny, late last night, I would be like, wait a minute. He would be the first Latino at a like high cabinet level. Didn't even occur to me until like, you know, a full 2 days
because
after.
Because you're not wed to identity politics?
It was even when he announced, when Trump announced, which is this unofficial announcement that the chief of staff was Susie Wals. She is the first female chief of staff, which I didn't even think about until I was like, wait a minute. She's a lady. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he hates women. So whatever.
Yeah. I forgot. No powerful women in his orbit.
I know a lot of people were kind of disappointed that Tulsi was not Secretary of State or isn't being floated as Secretary of State. I think
she might still make it on there somewhere because he hasn't announced RFKJ either. So there has to be something in there.
And he might be, I mean, this guy is a showman. He might be deciding to save them for like the finale or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, he's definitely looking at this. This is like a TV show for him.
Yeah.
Every day's a new episode and we're going to get new characters. Every day.
Yeah. This is The Apprentice in real life.
Yes.
So, but cabinet seats so far, it was funny because the one that actually made me go, wait a minute, I don't think this is on the up and up was Christine Noem as Secretary of Homeland Security.
That's the only one where I'm like,
what? First of all, I mean, there was the whole doggy drama, but not to,
she
you know,
shot her puppy she and wrote about puppy. It. She picked an editor that didn't edit that out. So.
Yeah, not that that's disqualifying as Homeland Security, but she's also the governor of which Dakota is it?
South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Right.
So now she has been, she has been very supportive of Trump's border agenda. She did send some South Dakota National Guard to the border to aid in securing the border, like when it was really getting, you know, a big push.
Yeah.
So, to, you know, she is in line with his policies. I think it's an odd pick.
It's an odd choice to me. It doesn't feel natural.
No.
It's the only one where I was kind of like, did you do this because she's an attractive female? I mean, I don't want to assume that. I'm sure he has his reasons, but it didn't feel natural.
Yeah.
Me. And plus, she got so much bad press like only 2 or 3 months ago. I feel like it was pretty recent where she was going on tour for that book, and it was not good for her. That was not great.
But other than Gnome, so far, pretty much every other pick I am down with. Even John Ratcliffe. So John Ratcliffe is going to be the director of CIA. Initially, it was floated that it was going to be Kash Patel, which made me very excited.
Yes. I like Kash.
Because I like Kash, and I also like Kash because he would make the Democrats' head explode.
Oh, he was going to, everybody was squirming when they thought that he might.
I don't know
go
if
in there
he
and
would
bust everything wide open.
Get through confirmation, though. That's the only thing. I think Ratcliffe will more like, because here's the thing. A lot of people are like, oh, I want this person, or I want some of these positions. It's a delicate balance about getting people that will get through. Now, yes, we have control of the Senate, but we still have Murkowski and Collins who are need to be done away with. Mm-hmm. Not literally, but you know, they need to go somewhere.
Careful what you say.
They just need to like not be senators anymore. I'm not suggesting anything other than that because they're wishy-washy and they have a tendency to like,
they can be swayed.
Yeah. They can be swayed, which is, you know, now it'll, we would still have the majority, especially with Vance in there, but well, actually, does he get in on those votes on the confirmation?
I don't know if
votes?
He does in the confirmation votes. I mean, he's the tiebreaker for everything else, but I don't know how it, I should know how it works with confirmation votes, but
The point is that we need to get these people through. So it's a delicate balance of someone who is going to, you know, promote Trump's agenda and his plans, which is what the majority of Americans voted for. Yeah.
And you can't just go in their guns blazing and be a firebrand and expect all of them to get, you know, passed through. They might be like, whoa, I don't know if this is, he might align with Trump's agenda, but.
But they're like, wait, it's too out there or something like that. You know what I mean? Especially the Senate.
He had to be careful.
So that's, you know, I would say that he's probably the most traditional choice, but I don't think he's a bad choice. No. Ratcliffe, he's a former congressman. He was director of national intelligence under president from 2020 to 2021. I've seen videos of him. He is a, like, he calls out the corruption in the government and in the intelligence community. So he's going to be director of CIA. I think that's a pretty good pick. Now, the other ones, the one that's actually making the left
the
head
headlines.
Explode.
Yeah.
Which they're such petty headlines is Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense. And I have a big freaking grin on my face right now. Okay. So
maybe he's your crush. See?
Well, I just love it because honestly, I was like, whoa, okay, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting maybe Tom Cotton, something like that, something more traditional.
I bet you Tom Cotton was also thinking Tom Cotton.
Yeah. So, but Hegseth, if you're not familiar, which is what it's so funny, is that the left is freaking out because they're like, oh, he's a weekend host on Fox News.
Yeah. Not totally ignoring his past and his experience in the field, but whatever.
Set the record straight. This man he's a graduate from Harvard and from Princeton. His graduate degree is from Princeton. He is military. I think he has 2 Bronze Stars. He served in Afghanistan and I believe also Iraq. Yeah. He has done organizations with veterans. What else is there? I mean,
it's so predictable of the left to be like, oh,
he's a Fox News host.
Fox News host. Yeah. No, you need to lead with all the stuff he did. And he also happens to be a Fox News host in his spare time. Like, come on.
Yeah. It's very dismissive. I would highly recommend he did an interview not too long ago because he has a book coming out. So he was promoting his book. And he did an interview with Sean Ryan, both of them military guys. And they're having these discussions. And Hegseth was specifically talking about the issues of like DEI and the mismanagement at the within the upper echelons of the military and of defense. So if you want to get an idea of how he is likely to run things, that's a good interview to watch.
Yeah,
I highly recommend. I just love that everybody's kind of like freaking out because
I know it's great.
I get off of that kind of stuff.
Well, and truly, they're really freaking out about the new borders are because
Tom Hooman.
All that's being talked about is the deportation conversation, which is a whole other episode that we'll have to talk about. But they're just losing their minds that he, that this guy, a hard nose, I mean, he's worked in the field. He knows exactly what he's talking about, that he would come in and even assert that people who are here illegally should be deported. They cannot. As the youths used to say, they literally cannot. They're so, now they're spinning the narrative that they're going to round up everybody who's even known someone or employed someone that could potentially have been here
illegally
without papers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of everybody's being sent away.
It's not just people here who are here illegally and have committed crimes, which is the first priority that Heumann has specifically pointed out, and individuals that are still in the United States with current deportation orders.
Yeah. So we're going to start at the top and move our way down. Yeah.
But then the left is also freaking out that it's going to be any immigrant in general.
Right.
Which would,
and they are, they're sending out that piece of misinfo as well. And people are glomming onto that. Real responsible journalism happening in this last week.
So, and then, of course, they're also saying that we're creating internment camps or a type of concentration camp or something like that, because there are new contracts that are going out to companies to create infrastructure in order to handle the deportations. I don't think this is an insane idea.
It's not. And when you let in hundreds of millions of illegal immigrants, this is what happens when you have to get your house in order. I'm sorry people don't like that, but he gave an interview with AOC and she was just, well,
oh, that was
he
an
shut
interview.
Her down.
That
or,
was
sorry, testifying before Congress.
Yeah.
And she was just like, she could not grasp that if you would like to be here, you can go through an official port of entry and do it correctly, like millions of people have done for all of time. She just couldn't accept that. It was very hard for her to wrap her mind around the fact that what lots of illegal immigrants are doing is against the law. And there are ramifications for that. I know that might hurt some people's feelings or be uncomfortable to accept, but that's always the way it's been. And it's the way it needs to be, or else why have borders? It's a hard to understand for some people, but they're having to reckon with it because he's taking no prisoners. Like, he is like, this is it. We got to change something.
He's had a few viral moments, I guess, or like, you know, he had the one with AOC where they went back and forth a few times. And then at the end of it, AOC's like, okay,
never mind.
Whatever.
Fine,
like, yeah.
Strike all that from the record.
There is the mic drop that he did in the 60 Minutes interview, which, I mean, because he's asked, you know, if he's going to separate families or if there's a way to do deportations without family separation.
He's like, yes, there is. We will
deport the entire
family together. Yeah, there are options. I'm sorry people don't like that. And it's not a laughing matter. It's actually really
sad. His response was amusing. I'm not going to lie.
Yes.
But
no, it
of
was.
Course,
it was very matter
we
of fact.
Are talking
he
about,
wanted an answer.
We are talking about real people here. So,
yes.
But also there are consequences for your actions. And if you don't want to go through that, then don't break the law.
Right.
It was like in that exchange with AOC, he pointed out that, you know, when I arrest someone for drunk driving or
I have to separate them from their child or domestic abuse, we have to separate them from their child. There's just consequences. I don't know. I don't understand. I think because like illegal immigration has become so ubiquitous with just like the United States ethos.
Yeah.
Now it's the one area where it's totally permissible and we can have a discussion about being relaxed with breaking the law. It's like the one issue where people are totally fine with, well, it makes me sad to think that there's going to be consequences for breaking the law. Just because it's illegal immigration, it seems really...
This is what happens when you give everybody a participation trophy, okay?
That was a very easy answer for you.
That's what happened. These are the consequences that we're dealing with. Okay. My personal favorite, which requires a little bit more of an explanation because a lot of people, this is such an online, this is where two worlds
It's so
collide.
Online that Mercedes had to explain it to me and I am online. So that's how online it is.
Okay. So we got the announcement for the new, quote, Department of Government Efficiency, which is being referred to as DOGE, right? And it is going to be headed up by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Okay. The idea behind this new department, which I'm using air quotes here or scare quotes or whatever, is that it will expose the incredible lack of efficiency of our federal government. Okay.
Now, which is needed.
Which is needed. And of course, people are freaking out about it. I'm specifically on the left and Democrats. However, what's funny is, okay, so specifically, I was watching a clip from Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC, and he did this entire like explanation and commentary on this announcement. First of all, he was making fun of Elon Musk because he was making it seem like Elon Musk believed that he was going to be like a shadow president.
Yeah.
And that he's been embarrassed and shamed by Trump by being appointed to a department that does not actually exist. And he has to co-run with, quote, his sidekick, Vivek Ramaswamy. Okay. And that the fact is the press release that was put out says that the Department of Government Efficiency will complete their work by July 4th of 2026, I believe.
Yeah.
And Trump made it like a big deal because it's supposed to be like the big gift to America for their 250th birthday, which, by the way, I'm very excited about these plans and the celebrations, but I don't want to get sidetracked. Okay. Now, here's the deal. The likelihood of this being an actual department that has to go through Congress and get approved is not going to happen. I don't think that's the case here.
Well, I don't know if it would get approved.
Exactly. The point is that this is the Elon and Vivek and this department, air quote, is not going to require Congress.
A department. It's just going to be more of an advisory role.
Advisory role. Yeah. The reason it is being called the Department of Government Efficiency is because the acronym turns into DOGE. And DOGE is a very online meme and cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. which is very on brand when you're talking about it being headed up by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
So if you've ever seen the meme of this like poofy, I think, I can't remember the breed. It's kind of poofy, like a Pomeranian, but it's the larger dog. I forget the breed. Anyways, and they're doing like a side eye, and sometimes they put glasses on them. That is the Doge dog meme. And then sometimes it's that so dog online. Is I, turned I can't into even... like a muscle guy. And yeah. that's like, so it's the whole thing is, this is a very online meme that we're into, I guess, now our government. Now, the idea here is that DOGE, which is not going to be an actual department, which Lawrence O'Donnell is freaking out about because he's making fun of him because it's not going to be an actual department. It's a long clip. I'm not going to play it here for you guys because it's like 6 minutes long. They're going to be in an advisory board. They're going to be with the Office of Management and Budget. But they're going to be in the executive building. They're going to be in an advisory board to cut the fat, essentially. And Elon has announced that all of this information that they're going to be discovering and they're going to be kind of auditing, I guess, is going to be open source and open to the public. So yeah. everybody will know how bad it is, which is a great tool to put additional pressure and hold your federal government accountable. Okay. Yeah. So this talking point that he's trying and that the left is going to try and push out that, you know, they should be, these two men have actual real jobs. Okay, mm-hmm. Elon Musk is a billionaire. Mm-hmm. I do not
who
expect
builds
him. Who builds freaking, who catches rockets in midair, okay? Yeah. I do not expect either one of these two, especially Elon, mm-hmm. to like push paper in a government
office.
Well,
I think that what's going to blow up people's brains, I think even Republicans, is if... You know, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I have a feeling it's becoming clear to me that this administration is not going to run like administrations in the past. This is not going to look like a traditional cabinet, a traditional meeting of the minds. There's going to be, you know, things have run the way they've run for so long. And in 2016, he was kind of thrown in there, not understanding exactly how things go down. And now that he served, you know, the first 4 years and was burned by some people and saw the inner workings of the machine, I think he's coming at this totally like with new eyes. Like, no, we don't have to do it the same way it's always been done. I can have these almost like contractors like Elon and Vivek who are going to come in for specific purposes, but they don't have to be there all the time. I have a feeling meetings are going to be held differently. It's not things aren't going to be status quo, obviously.
Well, and I think that is what's upsetting people. The fact is that
they don't know what to expect. They're scared. They're like, is this going to, what's this going to look like?
And I can speak for me personally. There's many reasons that I have voted for Trump, but one of the reasons specifically this cycle is because, you know, I'm tired of it always being the same. This idea that the federal government, this is the way it's always been done, and let's create more, you know, red tape, more bureaucracy, spend more money. I'm personally over that. And as long as you stay within the parameters of the Constitution and the, you know, legal parameters, I don't care what you do. And so if you do a government, like a DOGE, agency or whatever you want to call it, which it's just, it's funny to me that Lawrence O'Donnell was so obsessed with, like, this isn't even a department. I'm like, dude, it's not my DEA
it's
department.
Not. It's like it's, people who get really upset, like when they, anyways, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sidetracked. Anyway, I'm here for it. Okay. Yeah. I don't see, and I think that's one of the things that I appreciate of having individuals in these positions that have not been in government their
for
entire
a really long
career.
Time. Yeah. They have a specific goal. They want to assist at something that they're good at, that they're knowledgeable about, that they can uniquely or that they can uniquely, what's the word? Well, influence. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be a part of this. They don't have to just be another cog sitting at a desk and doing what everybody's done before, which has kind of gotten us into this mess. So I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
We also forgot to mention Mike Huckabee is he's the ambassador to Israel, which I think a good pick.
I think that's a good pick, too. Yep. I think the only other one that I have heard flip around that hasn't been confirmed yet is Lee Zeldin, former representative of New York, as head of EPA.
Yeah.
We shared that one. He has not been confirmed. A lot of people were like, why him? Look, if you're going to put somebody in the EPA that's going to deregulate, I'm here for it. Okay.
Yep. Sign me up.
And that's, you know, because a lot of people were like, oh, they're not an environmentalist. If you put an environmentalist in there, it's just worse.
Same.
Yep. It's going to make it worse.
I'd say all in all, we are like, I'm curious about what's going to happen today. What names are going to be officially dropped today or tomorrow?
Last night was a good night. Last night I was literally refreshing.
Fast and Furious. They were just bam, bam, bam.
Now, of course, these are all his what he wishes to appoint. I think the only ones that don't require appointing. Oh, there was also, oh my gosh. He also did. Stephen Miller is White House deputy chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there was a national security advisor too, that was just announced. And I cannot remember who that was. Now that one does not require confirmation. So he's going to be announcing some people. So like the chief of staff, that sort of thing, that don't require confirmation. And then those who do. So like, I don't think Huckabee requires to be.
I don't believe so.
Confirmed.
Not to be an ambassador. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Not to be an ambassador. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Watch both of our Instagram stories if you want to keep up to date with that as it goes. The House, some outlets have officially announced the House for the Republicans.
I think
some outlets have
desk.
Not. Yeah.
Decision desk.
And I think even the AP, if I'm not mistaken, but for some reason, the New York Times is holding out, which I'm not surprised. So it all looks good. We did a clean sweep. Cabinet picks are coming in. We will continue to keep you up to date. Like we said, we're not going anywhere. And I think that's it for today. We would love to hear what you guys think about these cabinet picks and any questions that you may have specifically on the cabinet picks.
Mm-hmm. Are there any that you absolutely love and some where you're like, you know, going, what? Yeah. Why this?
So, so that's it. That's today's episode of Campaign Games. We talked about the ladies are not too good. We need to pray for these ladies, let's be honest.
The outlook is bleak for them right now.
I laugh, but I really do feel like bad. Like it makes me really, and it makes me angry, honestly. If I'm going to be honest, it makes me angry that because it is the lies that they have been fed.
I have contempt big time for the media and for these politicians and quite honestly, it's some of these influencers and journalists that keep peddling lies to keep themselves and their platforms relevant. And look at what it's done.
Yeah, it's nuts. So anyways, That's a wrap for today's episode. Make sure you hit that follow button so you don't miss the next episode. We will see you again on Friday. And since we are your new favorite podcast, if you are a new listener, make sure that you leave us a 5-star rating, a lovely comment, and share it with your friends. Also, if you share, tag us because we'll share it on our platforms. And that's it. Thanks for tuning in to Campaign Games, the game of survival for both the candidates and the voters. Make sure you keep track of that draft pick that's happening for the cabinet. Who knows what'll happen today? I'm looking forward to it. And also something, if you're listening, the Senate leadership gets a vote today. So I don't know if it'll be finalized today. And if it doesn't, make sure that you keep voicing your opinion and emailing your senator.
Yes.
And I want Rick Scott.
She wants Rick Scott.
Yep. You make your own decision, but I'm just saying.
But our decision's the right one, honestly, all right. When it comes to this.
Our decision's the right one. All right. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.